Maker light. My life comes alive,
and again one more time,
it still changes me. I can't imagine my life without it,
and I wouldn't trade it for
anything. It still changes me. Changes me. It still changes me.
Grace of God, we will go on. steps on my toes. I don't care for weak gospel singing. Let the holy hallelujahs roll. I'll join in with saints as they're praying for a world that needs hope for today. It doesn't matter what others are saying. I'll stay in the old time way,
the way that believes in Jesus, for he makes lost sinners brand new, the way that believes Bible and proclaims every word is true.
I'll keep looking for his returning. Heaven's promise is mine to claim.
What a joy to know I'm forgiven. Praise God.
When I live and love more like Jesus, those around will see who he is. I can tell them all of the reasons why I know my Redeemer lives. Only
all right, good morning. Good to have you in the house of the Lord this morning. And good to have the Wolfhams with us this morning, all day. And so looking forward to what the Lord's going to do. I'm going to pray, and then they're going to come up and sing a song for Sunday school. And then Brother Wolfham's going to preach for us or speak to us. But I appreciate him coming, and I believe that he has a message from God for us today. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to meet with us this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you. God, we love you, and so thankful that you love us. And God, I pray that you might do a work in our hearts and lives this morning. God, I thank you for the Wolfhams for bringing our direction. I pray that you might bless their singing, be at the preaching. God, I pray that you might speak to everybody here today. God, if there's any that will be here that are not saved, God, help them to receive you as their personal Savior. And God, I pray that the saved might be encouraged and maybe convicted and stirred and moved by the Holy Ghost and your word. So bless today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Shelly, over to my left, your right is Maddie, Winnie. We got Josie and Gracie. And we do have three older ones that are married off. And we're just thankful for what God's doing. We're going to sing a little bit about him this morning. Amen.
One night upon the sea, my ship was tossing to you, sir. All right, let's all stand and turn to 327. 327. Higher Ground, 327. There it is. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still leaning as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane that I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Earthlings abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane that I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith hath God a joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane that I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost heights and catch the gleam of glory bright. But still I pray as heaven I found, Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane that I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. You may be seated and turn over to 439. 439, count your many blessings. There we go. Count your many blessings. 439.
When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with the load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly. Your new will be singing as your days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God had done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God had done. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you a wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven and your home on high. Count your heritage, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God had done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God had done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count I'm sure many blessings angels will attend. Help and comfort give you till the journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God had done. Blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God had done.
Thank you, Miss Wolf. Amen. So what's the number one blessing ought to be on your list? Saved, sins forgiven, home in heaven, amen. First blessing is Jesus Christ, praise the Lord. Well, good to have you in the house of the Lord. Kiara, it's good to see you, been praying for you. Kiara lost her mom a couple weeks ago, good to have you in the house of the Lord. And the rest of you, so good to have you in the house of the Lord, looking forward to a good day. And we have the Woofums with us, and we'll have morning service, and I hope you'll stick around for lunch. We'll serve it over here, but we'll eat out back, and we have a hayride and nine square and carpet ball, mud wrestling, stuff like that, you know, if you want to be involved in. That's just for the senior saints, though. But anyway, but we'll have a good time. And then about 2:45, when you hear the singing, they'll start singing. They'll sing a little more this afternoon. And then come on in, and we'll have our service. Brother Wolf will be preaching for us this afternoon. And then no evening service, all right? And then hope you'll pray for me. We get to go to the Preacher's Fellowship meeting in Olathe tomorrow night and Tuesday. And I get to preach on Tuesday. That's an honor. Pray for us. And then Wednesday, back in God's house. Then the 7th and 8th, ladies, if you've signed up, I'm sure you'll have more information when the van's leaving and everything. But that'll be this Friday and Saturday. And then Operation Saturation, soul winning, also Saturday morning. Then next Sunday will be our Fall Harvest Sunday School Picnic. And we'll have regular Sunday school, then a combined morning service, and then we'll have races for the kids, for all of the Sunday school kids, serve them pizza, and just have a picnic from 12:30 to 2, kind of like a back-to-school harvest party. We're thankful for all of them that do come, so we'll do that. And then the next ladies' meeting, Monday, October 17th, and then Sunday, November 6th, time change Sunday. You don't have to worry about it. You can just don't worry about it. That way you'll be an hour early for church. Amen. And then we'll honor all the veterans. Thank God for our country and for our veterans. And then don't forget Tuesday, November 8th is Election Day. You have a responsibility. Can't gripe at all unless you get out and vote. And I hope you'll get out and vote. That's your Christian duty, civil duty. And there are some issues that are right on based upon the Word of God. So I hope you vote not your pocketbook, but Christian values. Praise the Lord. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll have Brother Wolfham come. Appreciate him and his family. And we've got to know him over the last couple of years, and sure appreciate their ministry. And we'll have him come and preach for us. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you this morning. God, we love you. And God, we could take all day to count our many blessings. And the first one is you sending your Son to die for the sins of mankind. God, we have forgiveness of sins. God, I can't imagine going to bed and not realizing that my sins are forgiven, and if something were to happen, God, I would wake up in heaven. And God, I pray that you might be with those that are here today. God, the message is for them, and I thank you for bringing the Wolfhams our way. And I pray that you might bless this whole day, the singing, the preaching, the fellowship, the food. I pray that you might bless it. And just thank you for Brother Wolfham, and bless him as he comes and preaches, hiding behind the cross, in Jesus' name. Amen. Glad to have you, brother.
Thankful to be here. Been looking forward to this for a while, and just ready to get. We're going to dive right into the lesson this morning. If you would grab your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. We'll start our reading in verse number 25. Excuse me. Luke chapter 10. Verse number 25. Bible says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul
with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showeth mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. This morning, I want to preach on this thought, or teach on this thought. There'll be some preaching there, I'm sure, but really just get our minds wrapped around this passage. I want to be on this topic, putting compassion into action. Putting compassion into action. You know, the word compassion is a verb. It's something that it's an action that you do. It's not just feelings. We have to be very careful when we read the Word of God. Read the whole Word of God. Read the whole context. And you say, Brother Jim, what are you talking about? Well, let me give you a few instances, a few cases in the Bible, some places. And this is just very few of many. The Bible says this, Psalm 78:38 says, But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. What's that talking about? It's talking about God with his people Israel. And many times he had compassion on them. When they would complain, he delivered them out of Egypt. He gave them everything they ever needed. And he was taking them to a place called the Promised Land. And God says this, you know what? By the inspiration of God, he wrote this down. He said, but being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity. And can I just tell you, it's when we have compassion on someone, that doesn't mean we just look on them with pity. No, it actually means a suffering along with. Someone is in dire need. We're willing to actually suffer with them through the time to help them through it. Matthew chapter 14, verse 14 says, And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. But the verse doesn't stop. Then it goes on to say, And he healed their sick. There was always action after he had compassion on them. And of course, you know, Mark chapter 1, verses 40 and 41. And there came a leper, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will be thou clean. We could go on and on. We know the story of Luke chapter 15 where the prodigal son had left the father, right? You know that story and how he had went and lived in the hog pens of the world, picture of the world there. And as he came to himself, the Bible says he comes back and he has a whole speech he's going to tell his dad, right? He's going to come back and say, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Just make me as one of thy hired servants. But as we see, he gets back. His dad doesn't let him finish the sentence. He doesn't let him finish it. He starts to say, just let me be one of the hired servants. But his dad cuts him off, says, no, I'm going to bring hither the fatted calf, put on the robe, the ring on his finger, raiment on him. I mean, I'm going to clean him back up. He's my child. I want to use him. And what did he do? The Bible says in verse, I think it's verse 20, as the son is even walking up to him, he had compassion. Well, what followed? Well, he restored him. So compassion is not just a pity on someone with your eyes when you see him laying on the street somewhere or holding a sign up somewhere. And although that should move us it ought to move us to do something. Real compassion, biblical compassion, by the example of Jesus Christ, has an action behind it. And can I tell you, we know this, and you know this already. If you're God's child, we are called to be servants of Jesus Christ. We're to be His, what? Disciples, right? A disciple is someone who's a practicer, a one who follows another, but not just follows them, practices what they believe, and is a student of the Word. And so we know as we read our Bibles that God expects more of us than to have an emotional pity on someone. In fact, He says this, I want you to go out of your way, and there's going to be even some times in your life where you're going to have to suffer. Why? To help bring more people to Me. Because I saved your soul. I own you now. Hey, if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, we know this. The Bible says that you were bought with a price. I was bought with a price. What was that price? The precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I know it's hard for us to get our minds around it sometimes, but we got to remember this. He's all God and chose to come down and suffer the sufferings of man for you and me. I can't fathom that. I start thinking about it. What if I'm God? And I look down at my creation, and most of them don't want to have nothing to do with me. I send my only son down there. They take him and they crucify him. They torture him. And then they most of them spit on him. They want nothing to do with him at all. But there are a few, and I love them enough. I love everybody. I'm going to go ahead and send my son down there to die for him. That blows me away. Why? Because I know me. I know me. I know me better than anybody on this earth, but above that, God knows me more than that. Well, how does God know us more than that? He knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. He knows every single thing about you. And this is what He says, even though I know so much about you and I know your past, I know where I brought you from, can I just remind you that now I want to use you to get somebody else, to bring somebody else to Me, that I might be able to restore their life as well. Hey, when God saved your soul, that's just the beginning, by the way. That's not the end. That's not a get-out-of-hell-free card. No, when we give our life to Christ, now we're His servants and we're to serve Him. So we see here that in this passage, Jesus is approached by a man, a lawyer, the Bible says in verse 25. These lawyers, obviously, would have been an educated man, but he's not just educated in law as far as the government's concerned. These kind of lawyers would know the Bible quite a bit. In fact, Jesus even asked him the question, how do you inherit eternal life? I mean, the guy asked Jesus, and then Jesus says, what sayest thou? What's the Bible say about it? And the guy quotes him, pretty accurate verse. You say, what are you saying? Well, look at that verse real quick again. Verse 27. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus says, and He said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. Now, we know this, that knowing the Scriptures, we know that we can't justify ourselves. The deeds that we do, the actions that we can do as a human are as filthy rags in the sight of God the Father. But we do know this, when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we can then be redeemed, bought with a price, right? We can give our lives to Him, and that's what salvation is. A turning from our past, our sin, and giving our life, our heart, it's more than just knowing God, by the way, up here. Is taking that knowledge of a holy, righteous God and receiving Him and yielding to Him in your heart. That's what salvation is. A lot of people grew up in church their whole life. They know more Bible than I know. But they've never given Christ their heart. They've never been truly saved. And just because you show up at church your whole life and you go through all the motions and your parents have brought you and your grandparents have brought you, and this is all I've known, Brother Jim, praise the Lord, but that doesn't get you to heaven. We know that. We know this, that all the actions that we can do, it was really what Jesus did on the cross. We have to trust in that. Now Jesus approaches him and he tells the man, you've answered right, but we know this. The man could never own up to what he just said. He could never live that perfectly his whole life. Would have never happened. So he wants to what? Justify himself in verse 29. He said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Now, I mean, you're asking Jesus Christ, God Almighty, a question. This lawyer thought he was smart, and he doesn't even hold a candle to God. And so God's going to give him a little, he's going to give him a piece of paper and a pen and say, take some notes. I'm going to tell you who your neighbor is. And he starts the story, and many of you know this story, of this certain man that went down, it says in verse number 30, from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, we know in the Bibles, if you ever read in your Bible, you read about Jerusalem, you're always going down from Jerusalem. If you're going to go to Jerusalem, you're always going up. And you know, it's just a great picture. I know geographically, if you study it out, Jerusalem is way up on a high point. So anytime you have to go to Jerusalem, you are going to go up to get there. But there's a spiritual application to that as well. But as we look at this certain man went down from Jerusalem, I believe you can look at it as a life's journey. But he goes down to Jericho. And Jericho, many times in the Bible, you think back to Jericho when it was conquered by Israel, it had a curse on it. In fact, as Joshua would then take Jericho by the help of the Lord, and Israel would win that fight, the walls would come down, it would be a place that was cursed, and it would be rebuilt, but not in the same place. It would be in a different location. And so you say, well, what are you talking about? Well, I'm just saying this. Anytime you leave Jerusalem, or it's a picture of the will of God, or what the best that God has for you, and you go down, you're always going to go down to a place that's not as good, a place that is accursed. And it's a great picture of someone who's never given their life to Jesus Christ, or has, but has gotten out of the will of God, and now they go down. And you could go back and just review Jonah. Jonah kept going down. If you're reading the text, right? He kept going down here and down there. He just kept spiraling down. When you're not in the will of God, you're always going to go down. But we see here in verse number 30, there's a man who goes down to Jericho, and he falls among thieves, which strip him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, as we look at this verse, we see here that there's this man that goes down to Jericho, and he meets a band of thieves. Highway robbery, literally. They tear everything off of him, beat him, leave him, the Bible says, so bad that he's half dead. Praise God, he's still half alive. Amen. We can look at that side of it as well, but as we see here, Jesus is painting a picture for this guy, this lawyer, and he says there's a man that goes down to Jericho, and he's stripped of his raiment. And the thieves, they rob him, they take everything he has that's good. And you say, well, what's this a picture of? It's a picture of sin. It's a picture of this world. Hey, can I just tell you right now, you can go out and live any way you want. You got a free choice, but there is consequences of sin. There is a consequence. You know, as a young person, I remember, I can't wait to get out of church, can't wait to get out of this, and go live it up. And can I tell you, for a short time, the Bible even says it, there's pleasure in sin for a season, but it'll catch up to you. The more you bathe in it, the more you indulge in it, you're gonna pay a price. There's gonna be some baggage, some scars down the road you have to deal with. But I'm still thankful for this. There is victory down the road. You can still have victory in life. I don't know where you're at this morning, but I do know this. There might be someone in here who it feels like your life has been stripped of everything that's good. The raiment, I mean, the blessings of God, all these things, and you're just pretty much tired of it. Can I tell you, Jesus is one that wants to come by and help you get back on the right path. Oh, he wants to so bad. This morning, we see here that this man is stripped of everything good. Picture of the world. And it says in verse 31, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. And we could labor on this some, but I just, in a nutshell, we have two religious groups. We have two men who would have known the Word of God well. One who would have been one who would copy the Word of God. So I mean, you really should know it really well. We have these two men: a priest, one who does the work of God, a Levite, and these two men come by. And the Bible says the first one, I believe it says there, it's the verse number 31. The priest, he comes by. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Didn't even want to come and even glance at him. You get to verse 32, a Levite, another religious man, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, but then he leaves. So you got the priest who just stays over here, kind of gives a glance, doesn't, whoa, wait a minute, I don't want to help him. And he walks on, but the Levite at least stopped and looked at him for a minute, maybe even went up to him kind of somewhat close, and then then backs up, and the Bible says he goes on the other side as well. But verse 33, we see a change in the story. I wish I could have seen this lawyer's face when he seen verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, right there you could stop. For just to name someone a Samaritan. We know this, that a Samaritan in Bible times and back in the Old Testament, when they had been pulled out of, you say, well, who was a Samaritan? Well, it was one that was half Gentile, half Jew. And it started all the way back in the Old Testament when they had been taken over and had they had been allowed to have a few people stay back and then they mingled with the oppressors, the ones that the country that came in and overrode them. They mingled with them, allowed their sons and daughters to marry, and that's what created what was called as a Samaritan. And a Samaritan in the Jews' eyes was like a dog, a half-breed. I don't like saying that word, but that's nice compared if you read, study about it. They literally, you talk about racism, this was horrible. We see here that the Bible says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, oh, here we go, he had compassion on him. Let me give you a couple things real quick this morning, and we'll get ready for the morning service, but I believe here we can see a couple things that'll help us. Say, Brother Jim, I don't want to just be that Christian that walks around and does nothing for God, and then I got to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for every single thing I've ever done, knowing that I passed by a lot of people and never helped them. I'll just be honest with you this morning. There's going to be some things that I'm going to throw in the fire that God's going to burn with fire, my works, and there's going to be a lot of things that are going to burn up, that are not going to be tried by fire in such a way that there'll be something that can get back to God. Why? Because there's many times, unfortunately, I'm just being transparent this morning, there's been many times in my own life where I've walked by someone who I needed to give a tract to, witness to, invite to church, maybe even help out of a hard time. Can I tell you, your Christianity goes way past just saying, I'll pray for you. We've got this in our heads that work to do, nothing. We just saying the words is supposed to put a warm blanket on them, like Jesus said, right? That doesn't work. We ought to go past just the words. What are we willing to do to help? Now we know this. As Jesus he's given this instruction, he says a certain Samaritan journeys by. He say, well, okay, number one, I want us to see this. We got to meet them where they are. Say, how do I help someone? You got to meet them where they're at. What's that mean? Well, look at verse number 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. Now, I know this, and we know this by Scripture. Compare Scripture with Scripture. We're not talking about taking upon the sin in our own life to become one of them to win somebody over for God, right? We don't do that. I mean, we got to live by the Word of God. But we do have to go to some places that are rough, that are nasty, that it's going to get dirty, so to speak. I'm not talking about committing sin to win someone, but you know what? It's just going to take some effort. It's going to be some suffering on your part and mine if we're going to reach some people for God. And we're going to have to what? Go where they are at. We're going to have to be willing to do that. This philosophy, I'm just going to call them all in. I'll build it and they'll come. That don't work. You got to invite. You got to spend time inviting, handing out tracts, knocking on doors, and sending out literature, and being a witness at your work and at the gas station every day when you go in and you get that drink or that food at the gas station. Does that person know that you're a Christian? Have you ever invited them to church? I'm just saying this. They might be one that their life's upside down. They're trying to wear a smile behind that uniform, but they need Jesus Christ. Say, Brother Jim, is it that big a deal to meet them where they are? Yes, it is. Luke chapter 14, verse 22 and 23 says, and the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. Jesus says this, it ain't full yet. I've not come back. We're not at the limit yet, and Jesus hasn't returned yet. Can I just tell you, he could return today. He could step out on that cloud and call us up to glory, and that'd be a blessed time, but I just tell you this, I got people I know and I love. I wish to get saved before that happens. And there's people that God puts in your path and mine to show compassion to, not just to say, sure feel sorry for them, I'll say a prayer. And don't get me wrong, prayer is unbelievably powerful. And there are things certain people can do that others cannot, right? We know that. There are some that cannot go out and clean a house or do something for somebody physically, but they can pray. I'm just saying this morning, do what you can do to show compassion. And so we see here that we have to first meet them where they are. We know that in the Great Commission, and I won't take time to read it, but in Matthew chapter 18, or 28, you see here where Jesus says this. He says what? He said to go. And so our commission is to go and to tell others about Him. No one is looking for God without the Lord wooing them to Himself. Romans 3:11 says, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. In and of ourselves, our flesh don't want nothing to do with God. You say, well, I remember a time when I felt like, you know, I was starting to think about God more. I was thinking about church. My life was upside down. That was the Holy Spirit of God working on you. He's working through people around you. Why? He's wooing you to Him. And He wants to do that with somebody else too. And He wants to use you to be able to do it. So first this morning, we have to know this. We're going to have to get to a place in our life. We're going to have to be willing to go out of our way and meet them where they are. But not only that, secondly today, we have to understand this. Verse 34 says, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him upon his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Not only meet them where they are, but mend their wounds with the Word of God. Word of God is compared to as oil in the Bible and even wine. And we see here that as this man had seen this person on the side of the ground, I can only picture as Jesus explains it to this lawyer, that he not only just stops, he looks upon him, he has compassion, he says, you know what, I've got to do something, goes over to that person, puts something over him, I'm sure, puts a cover over them to clothe them. And then the Bible says this, he goes to where they're at, but then he starts to mend their wounds. Our intellect is not good enough to fix people's problems. Philosophy of this world is not good enough. What you've learned on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and all the other things, the social media, it's not good enough to help someone fix their problems. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying this, that when we go to help someone, we need to give them the Word of God. This is what fixes their problem. This is what fixed every problem I've got in my life when I turn to the Lord and I give it to Him and I follow His instruction. Can I just tell you, it always turns out the best when we do it God's way. And this morning, I want to remind us, maybe God's got someone in your path and you've been trying to show compassion on them lately. You've been inviting them. You take them food over to their house. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe you've tried to help them clean the outside of the yard. I mean, we go on and on to this morning. Maybe God's impressed that upon you. Can I tell you? Make sure you're taking the Word of God to them to help them. Because it'll go further than anything else. This man here in our story, as Jesus explains it to the lawyer, mended the wounds with oil and wine. I like this verse, Luke chapter 17. You can go ahead if you go ahead in the book here. You could turn, actually, just go ahead and turn there. Luke 17, verse 14. I want you to see this. Talking about mending their wounds with the Word of God. Luke 17, 14. Says, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. I ain't got time to preach the old message. You probably know the passage. But this is where what? This is where the 10 lepers saw Jesus walk by. And as they notice it's Jesus Christ, they go to him for help. And what do? They simply, he says this, go show yourselves unto the priest. And just by his words only, they obey his word and they're healed. Can I tell you, it's no different. The problems you and I have and the problems others have that we want to help them with and have to show that compassion, by his very word, we can be healed. It's still that way today. And can I tell you, it's just a reminder that we need to take the word of God. I like Psalm 147:3 says, he healeth the broken in the heart, and bindeth up their wounds. Does that with his own word. So we know this. You say, Brother Jim, I want to help people. What do I got to do? Well, first, we got to meet them where they are. Got to be willing to go out of our way. We got to be able to make time. And it's going to take some things in our life. We have to be willing to do some things, but we got to be willing to meet them where they are. But not only that, mend their wounds with the Word of God. We got to know our Bibles. If you don't know your Bible enough, and you say, "Brother John, I sure would like to be able to help people more," got to go to your pastor. And he'll help you, guide you in a way you can educate yourself in the Word of God to be able to help people, to give them some counsel, some help. But not only that, thirdly, this morning, and we'll have to close here, but you're going to have to be willing to make some sacrifices. It's going to be sacrifice. We want to sometimes do the first two things. I'll go to where they are. I'll give them the Word of God. And we should. People really know you love them, though, when you're willing to go out of your way physically to do something for them. I'm by nature, this is just me. By nature, I'm not big. I don't mean this, and don't take this wrong. I'm just not big on birthdays, all of that. Shelly is so opposite of me. Her family, everything, every birthday, every graduation, I mean, there's parties, and I think it's really neat because I'm just not that way at all. Literally, I got to remember my own birthday. I don't care if I get anything. Honestly, I'm being honest. I don't have that mindset. I don't click that way. And so with that thought, though, I've had to re-change my mind in the way I think of Shelly and the girls. I got to remember to do it for them because they're so good to me. But in doing that, what am I saying? I'm just saying this. Many times I don't think of it because I have to go out of my way to do something. That's just part of it. You're going to have to make some sacrifice. There's going to be some sacrifices involved. This man was willing to sacrifice what? His time, his supplies, his money, and even his ride. Bible says right there, verse number 35, he departed and took 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto them, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. And it says here that, we say, well, what's that mean? I can tell you what, it's just a great picture. This Samaritan's a great picture of Jesus Christ. And what he's done for you and me through, he came to where we were, right? I mean, he's done so much. He's mended our wounds with his words. But not only that, he made the ultimate sacrifice, which was already mentioned this morning. Our number one thing we ought to be thankful for is Jesus Christ for coming and dying for you and I. It ought to move us when we sing songs. It shouldn't be boring. If we're bored with church, there's something wrong. And I'm preaching to me this morning. Because even though we do this all the time, travel this country, if I'm not careful, it can just become mundane, just something I do. Well, I don't want it to be that way. There's nothing like coming to church already right with God and can't wait to meet with Him. Oh, it's like your pastor has the best messages all of a sudden, right? Because you're getting something out of it. He's already been laboring and preaching. He's already doing his part. It's just not now I'm starting to get fed. Why? Because I came to the table hungry. And that's what God desires for you and me. But it's going to take some sacrifice. So it says here, 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, but whoso hath this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? How can we say we love anybody if we shut up all of our bowels of compassion, it says here, bowels of compassion from him? We don't do anything for him. I'm just saying this morning, you know, I don't have to give examples. You know this. This is what God says. I'd like for you to have compassion on others like I had compassion on you. So I'd like to remind you this morning, where were you at when God saved your soul? Some of you maybe have been coming here for so long, sometimes if we're not careful, we'll forget where we came from. And it doesn't matter if you grew up in a pew or out there in the street with a needle in your arm, you still needed God as much as the other. We all need Him. Where were you at when God saved your soul? Where he met you? How many times has His Word mended your wounds? Countless times I remember being in church and I got something that I needed so bad because my life was upside down. I'm so thankful for the Word of God. How many times has He sacrificed for you and me? Shouldn't we be willing to do that same for someone else? This is what I like to challenge you this week. I just like to challenge you. I already know you guys invite. I know you're a beacon, a light in this community. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. The spirit of love in here is good, but we have to be careful to make sure we keep the light shining bright. Amen. Could I challenge you this week to do one thing? Just one thing. That you would pray, God, put someone on my heart this week. Let me not be blindfolded or just looking straight ahead. Help me to look side to side as I walk about my life this week to find someone that I could show compassion towards, that could sit in this pew next Sunday and hear the gospel for the first time maybe. I'd like for you to just pray. We ought to be willing to pray that, shouldn't we? Some won't pray it because they know it's going to happen. Then I'll have to get out of my comfort zone. Then I'll have to do something I'm not used to. That's okay. We're going to stand before God one day and give an account for every time we walked by someone and we never helped. Can I just say this? I want to show compassion as the Lord has shown compassion to me. Father, thank you, Lord, for this morning. Lord, I pray we won't leave this place this morning without you putting someone on our heart, on our mind. Lord, that we might need to go out of our way, meet them where they're at, show them some work, some verses, some Bible. But then, Lord, make some sacrifices that we might be able to see them come to the knowledge of salvation, Lord, one day. I just pray you'd use us as your vessels. Lord, meet with us this morning and the rest of the day, and we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.